Om sahanavavatu, sahanopunaktu, sahavirayankaravavahai, tejasvinavaditamastumavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may Brahman protect us. May he nourish us. May we work together with great energy. May our study be vigorous and fruitful. May love and harmony dwell among us. Om, peace, peace. Peace. Let us sit quietly for a few minutes and think of the Supreme Spirit in any way we please. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. The subject today is Swami Brahmananda's timeless spiritual guidance. Swami Brahmananda was a direct monastic disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. He was born in January 1863 in a village about 35 miles from Kolkata and was given the name Rakhal Chandra Ghosh. Rakhal was a strong boy who liked to wrestle, but he had a quiet, gentle, peace-loving nature. He was devoted to the Divine Mother and would meditate in the Kali temple of the village and sing devotional songs to her. When he was 12 years old, he was sent to live with relatives in Kolkata to attend high school. In Kolkata, he met Narendra, who would later become Swami Vivekananda, and they became close friends. Sometime before Rakhal's first visit to the Dakshineshwar Kali temple, Sri Ramakrishna prayed to the Divine Mother. Mother, it is my desire that a boy with sincere love for God should always remain with me. Give me such a boy. A few days before Rakhal's first visit to the Kali temple, Sri Ramakrishna had a vision of the Divine Mother putting a child on his lap. She said, "This is your son." Surprised, he asked her, "I look upon all women as my mother. How can I have a son?" She explained with a smile that he would be a spiritual son. Shortly after this vision, he saw two boys dancing on a lotus which was floating on the Ganges. One of the boys was Krishna, and the other was the same boy mother had put on his lap. That very day, Rakhal came to Dakshineshwar for the first time, and Sri Ramakrishna recognized him as the boy in his visions. Rakhal felt deeply attracted to the master and visited him as often as he could, sometimes staying with him for a length of time. He received spiritual guidance from Sri Ramakrishna and began to undergo great spiritual growth. Sri Ramakrishna was particular when training his disciples. One day when Rakhal arrived, Sri Ramakrishna asked him why there was a shadow of darkness over his face. The master asked, "Why can't I look at you? Have you done something wrong?" Rakhal replied, "No." He could not think of anything he had done wrong because he understood wrong to mean stealing or injury. Sri Ramakrishna asked, "Did you tell any lies?" Then Rakhal remembered that the day before, while joking with some friends, he had told a lie. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Never do that again. To always speak the truth, the exact truth, is very important in spiritual life." Spiritual life means training the mind. It means concentration and focus. It is not easy, and it has its ups and downs. This is true even for these great souls. Once when he was staying with Sri Ramakrishna, Rakhal was going through a period of dryness. He spent his time in light talks with others in Dakshineshwar. Sri Ramakrishna noticed everything, and he said to Rakal, "What has happened to you?" "Sir, what is the point of sitting for meditation? I don't always get the inspiration. My heart seems dry and I feel emptiness." Sri Ramakrishna said, "You must never neglect your meditation for that reason. Try to sit at fixed times for meditation every day, both morning and evening. Make up your mind to practice spiritual disciplines, then the enthusiasm will come naturally. Those who are farmers by birth and occupation do not and cannot give up farming just because the crop fails. So you must not give up meditation, even though you may not get any apparent results. You must be regular in your practice." That evening, Sri Ramakrishna went to the Kali temple and remained there for some time. During that time, Rakal was doing japa in the hall outside the temple where one can see the mother's image. Suddenly, Rakal saw a condensed mass of light coming from the image rushing towards him. This scared him very much, and he ran away. He went to Sri Ramakrishna's room and waited for him. When Sri Ramakrishna returned to his room, Rakal told him of his experience. Sri Ramakrishna said, "You wanted to see something, and yet you ran away. My child, it will all come to you. Sit regularly every day. Only then will it come. You will achieve everything. What is there to worry about?" In the 5 years, 1881 to 1886, Rakal was given training by Sri Ramakrishna. He had many spiritual experiences, including samadhi, the direct experience of divinity. After the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna on August 16, 1886, some of his disciples, including Rakal, renounced the world and became monks. This was the beginning of the future Ramakrishna order. Rakal became Swami Brahmananda. Once Sri Ramakrishna had said, "Rakal has the intelligence of a king. He can rule a kingdom. That is why Narendra, who took the monastic name of Swami Vivekananda, and the other monastic brothers, called him Raja or Maharaj." Swami Brahmananda continued his intense spiritual practices after the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna. He lived as a wandering monk, begging his food, and practiced severe spiritual disciplines. Swami Subodhananda, a brother disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, said, "I was then with Maharaj for some days. The intensity of his spiritual practice was such that he would forget even to eat and sleep. He was doing japa, chanting the Lord's name, and dhyana, meditation, all the time. I couldn't help asking him one day, 'Why are you doing such intense spiritual practice?' Sri Ramakrishna has given you everything that's to be attained in spiritual life. Why then are you going through such intense spiritual practices?" Hearing this, Maharaj became very grave. Then he said to me, "Do I not have to understand the worth of the great spiritual wealth that he has given me? My spiritual practice is just to understand and appreciate that gift." Once in Vrindavan, Swami Brahmananda was again doing intense spiritual practices. Someone said to him, "Sri Ramakrishna has given you everything. There is no reason why you should practice so much austerity, why you should act like a beggar." Swami Brahmananda said, "I am only trying to gain total control over what spiritual visions and experiences I've had by the Master's grace. I am now trying to make what he gave as my permanent possession." After Swami Vivekananda returned from the West, the group of young monastics gathered again in Kolkata. Swami Vivekananda started the Ramakrishna Order and made Swami Brahmananda the president. He held this position until he passed away in 1922. As the first president, he guided the growth of the order, strengthening its branches and expanding its reach in India and abroad. He provided stability during the early years, and his deeply contemplative life balanced the mission's outward activities. As the president of the Ramakrishna Order and mission, Swami Brahmananda began to give spiritual initiation and monastic vows. He was more interested in building up the character of the monks in the order than making rules and regulations. Once a Swami asked him to make some rules for the young monks, Maharaj replied, "Swami Vivekananda has already made the rules for us. We don't need to add any new ones. Add more love, attain more devotion, and help others move toward the ideal of God." Swami Abhedananda, one of his brother monks, said regarding Swami Brahmananda, "Love was the dominant theme of his character. As the first president of the Ramakrishna Order, he enforced no other law but love, and by that sheer force of love, he could control one and all. Sometimes he was asked to visit a center for a specific purpose of clearing up a misunderstanding or to settle a dispute. His method of bringing peace was unique and effective. He would say nothing about the difficulty, but a few days in his presence worked wonders. The monks would meditate with him and become more focused on their spiritual practices. In this way, their minds would straighten out and the tensions would melt away. Then a few words of advice would settle the problem. He didn't write books or give lectures, but his words are available through reminiscences. I'd like to share some core instructions that he gave. They are simple and practical teachings, emphasizing God realization and experiencing the divine presence in our lives. He constantly reminded seekers that realizing God, realizing our divine nature, is the sole purpose of life. Worldly success, learning, or service has value only insofar as it leads to God. One can achieve realization through disciplined meditation and persistent practice. Swami Brahmananda stressed fixed times for japa and meditation. He instructed seekers to practice meditation and japa at least twice daily, especially during the auspicious hours of the early morning and in the evening at dusk. He also emphasized doing it in a quiet, secluded place. He advised, "One must practice regularly. Sporadic, irregular effort will not do. No effort is lost, but focus is needed for spiritual realization." He would say, "Fix a time and never miss it, even if the mind rebels. Even dry, distracted meditation builds spiritual muscle. It builds strength." He taught that discipline is more important than your mood. That whether one likes it or not, it doesn't matter. One must follow the routine. Have a firm resolution about it, a firm resolve, "I will do it." This forms a habit, and one finds that it is painful to miss meditation once you have the habit formed. He advised, "Once you train your mind, you need not fear. You will then be able to turn your mind in any direction you like. As a trained horse is under the control of its master, so the mind must be brought under your control. When this is done, know you have made significant progress. Always whip the restless mind. Scold the mind if it tries to move in the wrong direction. Never give permission to the mind to wander." Maharaj used to say, "Is it easy to meditate? If you happen to eat a little too much, you cannot concentrate your mind. Meditation is possible if you can keep lust, anger, and all other passions under control. If any one of them grows strong, you cannot have meditation. Real tapasya, real austerity, is to restrain the passions and not give vent to them. This indeed is the highest tapasya. Do not be cast down if bad thoughts occasionally arise in your mind. Brush them aside. He also said the spiritual path is full of obstacles. He said the Divine Mother does not easily release human beings from the bonds of her Maya. To obtain her grace, one should cry and pray. We have accumulated many samskaras in past lives and are acquiring new ones in this present life. All through our lives, we have to fight against these samskaras. The more we resist them, the more they strike back. He said to never yield to them or deviate from our goal, to march on, and we will win. Once Maharaj said, you practice meditation and japa, you progress a little, then comes a period of dryness. It seems that the doors are entirely closed. At that time, it is necessary that you stick to your spiritual practice with infinite patience. By doing so, you will find one day that all of a sudden the doors are opened. What a great joy it is then. In spiritual life, many such thresholds have to be crossed. Struggle, Maharaj would say. I can remove obstructions from your spiritual path, but you should struggle yourself. There is some satisfaction in achieving something through struggle. Struggle, struggle, struggle. He emphasized this very much. He said that God has created many playthings to delude human beings. He wanted us to throw all these away and pray to God, and then God will come and take us in his arms. He said you need to choose either God or his playthings. You can't have both. That we have had much play in our lives, and it is now time to call on the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell the story of the mango grove, saying, you have come here to eat mangoes. Why bother yourself about calculating the number of trees, branches, and leaves? Eat the mangoes and be satisfied. We have come to this world for God realization. Let's accomplish this first. He would encourage us to solve our own problems and equip ourselves for life's journey. He said, ask yourself, why have I come to this world? Struggle hard. Jump into the ocean of Satchitananda. Absolute existence, absolute consciousness, absolute bliss. Jump into the ocean of ultimate reality and be immortal. About the power of japa and meditation, he said, japa should not be a mechanical process. It must be accompanied by meditation on the divine form of one's chosen ideal. Seeing the blissful form of the deity helps steady the mind and prevents the practice from becoming dry or tedious. He taught that japa was the easiest path for us. He advised practicing regularly, even when the mind was unwilling, to cultivate a strong spiritual habit. A disciple asked Maharaj, I am finding it impossible to calm the mind. Swami Brahmananda said, practice a little meditation and japa every day. Never stop for a single day. Sorry. The mind is like a restless child. It wants to run away. You must bring it back again and again and apply it to the meditation of the Lord. Go on this way for a few years, and then an inexpressible joy will fill your mind. Meditation and japa appear dry in the beginning, but still you must engage the mind in thinking of God, like swallowing a bitter medicine. Slowly, spiritual joy will grow in you. People work so hard to pass examinations. To realize God is even easier than that. Only let them call on God with a calm, cheerful heart. The disciple said, "Sir, your words fill me with hope, but sometimes I feel very depressed, and I think that all my spiritual practices must be in vain since they have brought me no higher experience." The Swami said, "No, no, there is nothing to despair of. Work must have its effect. If you go on repeating his name, be it wholeheartedly or even half-heartedly, it must produce results. Practice with diligence. Practice regularly for some time, and you will have peace and joy. Meditation gives not only mental peace, but also physical health. You will have less illness. So one must practice meditation even for physical improvement." Swami Brahmananda recommended a structured and highly disciplined daily spiritual routine, focusing on japa, meditation, scriptural study, and self-analysis. He emphasized the importance of regularity and perseverance above all else. A disciple asked him, "Sir, how shall I steady the mind?" He replied, "By regular daily practice, you can make the mind firm and steady. And for this practice, early morning is the best time." See a theme going here? Before meditation, reading from any of the holy scriptures will make concentration easier. Japa and meditation, these are the food of the mind. Their practice is the first necessity of man. By practice alone, you can gain a great deal. Solitary retirement is also a great help to the spiritual seeker. Simply sitting in a secluded nook of a garden, or on a solitary bank of a river, or on a lonely outskirt of a vast open field, or shut in your own closet, you can find much profit. Once Maharaj said to a devotee, "When you meditate, you should imagine that God is standing before you like the mythical wish-fulfilling tree." Another day, he said to the same devotee, "At the time of meditation, you should imagine that you are in mid-ocean. On all sides, there are mountains of high waves, and God is standing before you, ready to help." Another thing he emphasized was constant remembrance. The ultimate goal is to maintain remembrance of God throughout the day and even while you're working. He suggested performing actions with the feeling that one is an instrument in the Lord's hands, offering all work to him. Singing or chanting the holy name superficially without any genuine spiritual feeling won't help you. You should all become absorbed in it. This is what he was telling some devotees. The more you chant his name, the more joy you will experience. Along with joy will also come faith. All your doubts and disbelief will flee away. One Swami remembered Swami Brahmananda encouraging them very much to engage in spiritual practice and study of the scriptures. He frequently told them, "Do spiritual practice. Become immersed in chanting the holy name of God. Pray to God, saying, 'Please give me devotion and divine knowledge. If you don't do these things now, you'll regret them later.'" Someone asked Swami Brahmananda, "What should be the duty of human beings?" And he replied by sweetly chanting a line from the song, starting with the words, "O my mind, chant the holy name of God incessantly." Another thing that he emphasized was scriptural study. Devotees should dedicate some time daily to the systematic study of religious texts like the Gita or the Upanishads. This helps fill the mind with sublime thoughts and it aids in concentration. He told a disciple, "By merely reading the scriptures, one cannot grasp their true meaning." Regularly read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and similar books and try to understand their meaning. The more you read, the more new ideas will flash in your mind. You will discover newer and deeper meaning in what was recorded. An aspirant understands God in one way by hearing, in another way by practicing spiritual disciplines, and in still another way by realizing him. He also said to read good books like the Upanishads, Gita, Ramakrishna Vivekananda literature. To read those books will enhance love and devotion to God. If you want what is good for you, be absorbed in the name of God. Don't be superficial. Dive deep. Do or die. Let this be your motto. He also recommended cultivating virtues such as truthfulness, non-injury, and control of the senses. These help purify the mind. He emphasized discipline in eating, in sleeping, in talking, and to avoid idle gossip. He said, unless you can fix the mind on God, you will find it very difficult to keep yourself pure in this world. Mahamaya, the Divine Mother, sports in diverse ways, and it is not easy to withstand the temptations created by her. Lust, anger, greed are the most invincible. To conquer them is no child's play. He urged his disciples to become strong in the Lord and then pass the rest of their lives as God wills and directs. He wanted us to develop our minds and make it steady. One way to do this is by continually thinking good thoughts and developing love and attachment to God. He said that purity of mind is the foundation of spiritual life. Without purity, spiritual life cannot progress. So first, purify the mind, control your desires. Everything else will follow. He often stressed truthfulness, self-control, and clean living over mystical experiences. He also encouraged us to do self-analysis. As you think, so you become. He would want his disciples to ask, what is it that they wanted? Decide exactly what you want and strive for its attainment. He told them, every night before you go to bed, think for a while on how much time you have spent in doing good deeds, how much again in doing useless things, how much time you have utilized in meditation, and how much time you have wasted in idleness. Make your mind strong through tapasya, austerity, and self-control. He also emphasized holy company. Associating with holy people, satsang, and avoiding bad company and bad habits is very important to protect the mind. Swami Brahmananda said to one disciple, ask me whatever you wish to know. And the devotee said, how can one be devoted to God? Swami Brahmananda said, you can become devoted to God by association with the holy. By merely visiting the monks is not sufficient. You must build your character by observing their lives and trying to follow their teachings in your life. One cannot assimilate their nature and spiritual instructions without practicing self-control and meditation. Someone asked him, how can one have yearning for God? And he said, yearning comes when the mind becomes pure through the company of the holy and practicing spiritual disciplines according to the instructions of the guru. Self-surrender, there's no other way. But what do we understand by the word self-surrender? He said, it doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything. that we can sit idly without moving our hands and feet. He said one should always sincerely pray, O Lord, I do not know what is good and what is bad. I am solely dependent on you. Grant me all that I need. Take me along the path that will bring me the greatest good. Grant me purity and strength so that I may have constant recollection of you. He said, is it so easy to surrender oneself to God? Verbally, many say, we have surrendered ourselves to God. We are doing what he is making us do. But when we observe their lives, we see that their actions are quite contrary to what they say. If they do anything good, they take credit for it themselves. They say with pride, I did it, I did it. But if there's any mishap, they blame God and say, he is giving me trouble and suffering. Most people behave this way. Swami Brahmananda also emphasized urgency in spiritual life. We have a tendency to procrastinate, to put our inner growth on hold and do it later. But as we study his teachings, we find him reminding us that realizing God, that spiritual life is not opposed to duties. It is to be pursued alongside them, in and through our jobs and responsibilities. We can do our spiritual practice. He taught that the true spiritual teacher's guidance is indispensable for navigating the path of spiritual life and dispelling doubts. A guru is very important. He said, faith, have faith in the words of your guru and follow his instructions. Then you will achieve everything. As a kitten surrenders to its mother, so surrender to your guru. He will make you do what is right for you. How much do you know about yourself? If you surrender to your guru, he will take responsibility for you. He will think of you and protect you from all trials and tribulations. As long as a person has not realized God, there is every possibility of his making mistakes. This does not happen if one lives under the shelter of a guru. He also encouraged selfless service. Following Sri Ramakrishna's ideal, he viewed serving humanity as a direct way to serve the divine and purify our hearts. Swami Brahmananda's teachings are remarkably practical and relevant for us and what we're trying to do in our lives. He never demanded withdrawal from the world. Instead, he taught inner transformation while living an ordinary life. Spiritual life can be lived in and through our duties, our jobs, and our responsibilities. We need to perform our duties sincerely, but not cling to the results. We need to look at our life as a field for spiritual practice. To do our work as worship, as karma yoga. He said, do your duties conscientiously, but always be aware that you are an instrument in the hands of God. There must be no attachment to the work. Know in your heart of hearts that God is the only doer. Keep your mind forever fixed on him. When someone was complaining that they were working so hard and they didn't have time to do their spiritual practice, he said, why do you complain that you find no time to do your spiritual practices? Such a flimsy argument does not befit you. You must carry on both spiritual practices and mundane duties simultaneously. My idea is that you don't possess any strong desire at heart for spiritual exercises. You only like to pass your time in vain works and in merriment. Your plea of want of time is nothing but a lame excuse. Those who are really inclined towards sadhana perform their practices under all circumstances. Only they do it more intensely whenever and wherever the opportunity is favorable. Those who complain of inconveniences of time and place never make any progress in their life, and they wander around like beggars and spend their time in vain. He said, Engage yourself, heart and soul, in sadhana. Plunge into your spiritual practices. Oh, the joy of it! If you once have a taste of that joy, all else will lose its savor for you. Then, wherever and in whatever circumstances you may be placed, you will not relish anything except sadhana. True, in the very beginning you cannot have that joy, but believing in the words of your guru, if you persist in sadhana for some time, the joy of it will descend upon you unsought. In performing japa and meditation, time and other conditions are indeed necessary. But smarana and manana, constant remembrance and contemplation of God, wait for no conditions. Whether at work or idle, whether dining or sitting alone, you can always practice these. You must cultivate this habit, and when you have become adept in it, know that you have made a fair advance towards God. Along with service, japa and meditation are also necessary to awaken love and feeling of God. Also, silence and solitude are important. A disciple asked, Sri Ramakrishna used to say that one should go into solitude or to a quiet corner and cry to God. Which should we emphasize, going into solitude or associating with devotees? The Swami said, if you meditate in solitude, the mind will easily go inwards. It will be less disturbed by foreign thoughts. But you must always and everywhere associate with devotees. Until you have advanced a bit, you cannot live in perfect solitude. Many visitors noticed that Swami Brahmananda was often silent. When asked why he spoke so little, he said, people talk too much. Silence helps one grow inwardly. While in Puri, Swami Brahmananda was asked how to get rid of the restlessness of the devotee's mind. Swami asked him if he had had spiritual initiation, and he had. The Swami said, please continue to chant the mantras you were given. Then he instructed him to do mental worship of the deities first, and then to chant mantras. He also instructed him how to pray to God, saying, O Lord, you are present in the sun and the moon. You are present in the stars. You are present everywhere. I am devoid of any spiritual qualities. Out of your compassion, please show yourself to me. One day, a devotee entered the room of Swami Brahmananda. The Swami glanced at him with great affection and asked, what brings you here? A little later, he said, don't be scared. Hold on to God with a spirit of complete resignation. For a year or so, forget yourself and get completely immersed in prayer and meditation. Then everything will be favorable. Don't worry about what you should do. You are his instrument. Why should you think about what you will do? When you think that way, all troubles come. Be satisfied with what you have got. Oh, how great, how wonderfully beautiful God is. He is the very essence of all beauty in the world. Be absorbed in his bliss, and then you'll never be able to forget him. Do japa incessantly. He told a disciple, my child, you've seen that the world is full of suffering. Don't think we never suffered. When I first went to Thakur, I was young. I used to do my spiritual practice, but wouldn't find peace. Sorry. Many thoughts would arise in my mind. Sometimes I would wonder why I hadn't found peace yet. Thinking in this manner, one day I felt I wouldn't even go and see Thakur, see Sri Ramakrishna. I would quietly run away. Just then, I saw him standing in front of me. He said, "What are you thinking? You've been going through a lot of suffering, isn't it?" I kept quiet. Then he gently stroked my head with his hand, and instantly all my suffering was gone. Then I felt great peace and joy. Hearing the Swami's words, suddenly these words came out of the devotee's mouth. "Father, I am also burning inside. It's too much suffering. I can't tolerate it anymore. That's why I restlessly wander here and there. Would you please soothe my burning heart?" With great affection and sympathy, he said, "My child, please pray to Thakur, to Sri Ramakrishna. There is no fear. He came only to relieve our suffering. Chant his holy name. At first you will find it difficult, but later he will make everything all right. Don't be afraid, my child. There's no cause for fear. Eventually you will have great joy, great fun." He didn't want us to waste our life in vain pursuits. He wanted us to realize God. He said, "Religion is not a belief, but an experience." To end, I'd like to say, quote him, saying, "Life is fast flowing away like a stream. The day that is once gone can never be recalled. So make the best use of your time. Be up and doing. Make your mind realize your goal, or die in the attempt. Death is certain. It may come today or tomorrow. If you lose your life trying to attain God, it is no loss, but a positive gain. If you get a glimpse of God, you will have infinite bliss. The pleasures of the senses will lose all charm for you. When you have once come to God, there is no room for fear and anxiety. Give up all the things of the world and dwell on Him and Him alone." In Madras, on a walk with the monk, Maharaj said, "Just do one thing. Always try to remember God. I also do that."
Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
That is perfect, this is perfect, and from the perfect is derived. The perfect, having been subtracted from the perfect verily remains. Om, peace, peace, peace.